What is going on, everybody? Anthony Wade here, and welcome to another episode of the Lead 360 podcast. Today, what I want to chat with you about is a question that I'm often asked, and this is, how did I get good at public speaking? Now, before I get into the topic of today, I want you to know that I'm not the best. I'm pretty good, and I'm good enough to get paid for it, but I'm not, you know, the best public speaker. But I will tell you that I have been able to build this skill and refine this skill. And I have a lot of opportunities to speak in front of a lot of people. And so that being said, I will say that I'm pretty good, but I'm not better than a lot of speakers out there. And frankly, you know, it's a skill that we constantly build as we continue to grow. But I'll tell you this, if you're leading people and you're looking to influence and increase your impact in the lives of those you lead and those you love, then there is no other skill that's more important than your ability to communicate and your ability to connect with others. And communication, effective communication, is what separates good leaders from great leaders. And I'll tell you that nothing has been more fruitful in my journey on this topic of leadership or in this journey of leadership than learning how to speak and be comfortable and confident in speaking in front of others. And in fact, when I speak, I don't use a script. I don't use PowerPoints, anything like that. I've gotten to the point where I can speak on a topic just from the knowledge, the repetition, the practice, and the stories that I've created throughout my life. And it's allowed me to influence and impact thousands of people all over the world. And I think that once you hear today's episode, my hope is that you'll have the belief that you can do it too. Now, when we talk about getting comfortable and getting good at speaking, I want to take you back to a time where I was speaking in front of 10 people and it was a 2-minute talk and I got to pick the topic. And the topic was Mike Tyson. You know, I'm a big fan of Mike Tyson, regardless of his personal life. As a boxer, he was the man back in the day. And so I was in a speech class and the topic was Mike Tyson. I had 2 minutes to give a talk in front of 10 people. It was basically the class that I was in. And I remember going in there and sharing my talk in about 30 seconds to maybe 45 seconds into the talk. I just froze and I got so nervous that I just started sweating and, you know, kind of like the Eminem song, you know, knees weak, arms are heavy, palms are sweaty. The only thing I didn't have was to throw up mom's spaghetti on my clothes. But nevertheless, I ran out of the room, left my stuff there, bolted out of the room. And the teacher came out after me, brought me my bag and said, "Mr. Waite, I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to give you a withdrawal, but you have to come back and take this class again." And I never did. I told myself that day that I'll never do this again. And I'm very grateful that I didn't listen to that voice, but that was around 2004. Fast forward to 2018, you know, 14 years later, I got the opportunity to speak in front of a group of third graders. Now, how hard could it be to speak in front of kids? I'll tell you how hard it is. So I got asked to go to Career Day to speak in front of some third, fourth, and fifth graders for Career Day, kind of share with them how I became a medical professional in the military, how I went on to become a Navy nurse. And after I was done telling them about, you know, my opportunity to work with the President of the United States and travel the world and provide medical support to, you know, 20 different countries, a little girl in the back of the room asked, "Well, why did you join the Navy?" Now, if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know kind of my story. But in that moment, I didn't have a script or I wasn't planning on sharing with these kids my struggle. I was sharing with them, you know, the success and the glory and all the things that I've been able to accomplish. But in that moment when I was asked that question, "Why did you join the Navy?" I kind of thought to myself, well, I didn't have this scripted out. It wasn't planned. And my initial reaction was, "We'll share that for another day. We'll save it for another day." Well, the superintendent happened to be in the class that day. And she said, "Well, we have plenty of time, Mr. Wade, go ahead and share your story." And I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go. So without reservation, I shared my story and I told them how, you know, I grew up and faced adversity at a young age, you know, watching my dad leave at the age of two and my mother raising four kids, you know, welfare, Section 8 housing, the whole bit. And I shared with them the journey up until why I joined the Navy. And many of you know, I graduated high school and I think I had a 1.8 GPA. And I was heading nowhere very fast. And on the day of my graduation, my stepfather punched me in the face. And I left home and I decided to kind of flounder around for a year and a half and ended up, you know, bouncing from couch to couch and kind of, you know, being homeless for a year and a half and kind of nowhere to go and nowhere to really call home. I decided to join the military and just on a whim, just get anything was better than where I was. And as I shared that journey and that story of, you know, how I grew up and the confidence that I didn't have and, you know, struggling at a young age, what was interesting was that story resonated with a class full of kids. As I got back to my office, the teacher and the counselor messaged me and said, "Mr. Wake, can you come and talk to a group of kids that we deem as behavioral problems? And we're kind of stuck on what to do with them. Could you come give them a talk? Because I think they can really benefit from what you had to say today." And I said, "Sure, why not?" So a couple of days later, I went into a cafeteria and it was all young men. And I thought to myself, well, where are the little girls at? Why is it all boys? Well, come to find out, these young men were struggling with the very same things that I struggled with as a kid. I didn't have a positive male influence in my life. And I thought to myself, wow, for all these years, I never wanted to share that part of me because I was ashamed. I felt guilt and frustration. Every time I thought about my past, I never wanted to bring it up because I didn't want people to think different of me. I wanted them to see everything that I've created and all the things I've become, but I didn't want to peel back the curtain on the journey to how I got there. You see, many people will see your glory, but do they know the story? The story is what brings them into your life and helps you connect on common ground. And in that moment, what I did was I shared my story and I was able to connect with a lot of kids that day. That later turned into a TED Talk and that sparked my speaking career. So many of you that see me now where I'm, you know, doing this podcast without any notes and just off the top of my head, or I go on stage or I speak in front of a school or an audience, you know, I've spoken from 10 people all the way to 3,000 people. And, you know, this podcast alone has been shared in over 23 different countries. And well, I take that back, 40 different countries and over 20,000 people. And I'll tell you that had I not put my pride aside, my shame and my guilt aside, I would never have the impact and influence that I have today. And in fact, that's the only thing different between me and most leaders is that I'm willing to get up there and share my journey. I'm willing to get up there and share, you know, not just the success, but also the struggle. And I want this for you too, because when you can put your pride aside, your ego aside, and realize that there's somebody out there that needs to hear your voice, then you can start increasing your influence and impact. And so I'm going to give you five things today that can help you do just that, because I believe that if you can do this, if you can get in front of a group and move them emotionally, spiritually, physically, you can literally impact the masses. And right now, before I get into these five, I want you to write down and think about what is stopping you. What questions do you need to ask yourself so that you can pull out those lessons that life has given you? You know, that question from that little girl, why did you join the Navy? That I would have never guessed would have been what sparked my speaking career, my speaking journey. And I say career because I do get paid to speak. Now, whether you're looking to get paid or you're looking just to have influence and increase your impact, it's up to you, but just be prepared that whenever you start speaking and you get good at it, people are going to demand your services. And I'll tell you, I've been able to travel and speak and do really well. And that's not even my day job. My day job is as a naval officer, as an instructor, as a leader in the military, and obviously as a husband and father. So speaking has become my passion, but it's also become something that I've been really looking to get better at. And as I continue to grow, I continue to get more opportunities. And so nevertheless, I'm on this journey with you, but I'm going to share five things that have helped me, and I know that they can help you as well. So I want you to ask the question, what do I need to get over or get through so that I can get to my audience, so I can get in front of my audience. But the first thing I want to share with you is you got to understand that it's not about you. You know, for the longest time, I was ashamed and I was very closed off about my upbringing, about my past, because frankly, it was my ego in the way saying that, you know, who wants to listen to you? But more than less, like, remember where you come from. Nobody cares about your struggle. And in fact, that's totally false, because there's other people that want to know, how did you get to where you are? And understand that it's not what happened to you. It's what you've allowed to happen through you. That's the transformation. People talk about transformation and transformational leadership as a buzzword, but transformational leadership means that you have went through something. Something has happened to you. You're able to turn that pain into a purpose and give that to people so that they can reach their potential. And if you think about it, that's all I've been able to do is look at the past and say, how did I prevent that from predicting my future? Because for the record, on paper, statistic wise, I shouldn't be where I'm at today. Like, if you look at the statistics of fatherless homes, young men, the direction that I was headed at an early age, there is no proof that I should be doing what I'm doing today. And I want you to understand that I had to realize that life was never happening to me. It was always happening for me. And many leaders fail to understand this. And many leaders fail to understand that it's not what happens to us. It's what happens through us, through the lessons that we learn. Our burdens are to be a blessing for other people. Should we get over them, decide to get over them, and get through to the people that are waiting for us on the other side? You have to have burdens to get breakthroughs. And how we do this is we go back in our life and look at the test that life has given us. And when we look at those tests, we have to extract the lessons and then give those to other people. For example, I wouldn't be the father or the husband or the leader that I am today if I wouldn't have seen what not to do from my father. He taught me how not to screw up a marriage, how to not screw up being a father. And I was able to take that and just flip it and do the opposite. And here we go. I was taught at a young age about finances and wealth and how to be successful, because I watched my mom struggle on welfare and Section 8 housing, working four jobs, trying to raise, you know, four kids. I realized that it ain't just hard work alone, because if that was the case, she'd be a millionaire. She'd be rich. But yet she still struggles. Hardest worker I know. And I realized that it's not about how hard you work. You've got to have systems and structure in your life. And so understand that it's not about you. Everything that's happened to you has actually happened for you. It's for you to learn the lesson so that you can help other people get through the test that life's given them. It's for you to be a blessing to other people. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care, but you can't explain that until you share with them a piece of you that maybe people would never see unless you opened your mouth and shared it with them. They see the glory, but do they know the story? That's the difference maker. Number two, there are people who need to hear your voice. Like, I know you're probably watching this on YouTube or you're listening to this on the podcast, but there's people out there that'll listen to me, but they won't hear me because they can't relate. But I promise you, there's something about you that you have gone through, that you have overcome, that there's somebody that wants to be where you are and they need to hear you. Don't ever be the best kept secret. And you have to understand that, you know, I let that voice of doubt and insecurity paralyzed me for so long. It put shame in the way of sharing my story. And I had to get over that to realize that there are people who are where I once was. Those young men in that class, they needed to hear my story because they were struggling with the same things that I struggled with. And if I would have continued to let that voice stop me and paralyze me from, you know, serving my purpose to help them reach their potential, then they would have missed out. They would have never been able to see the possibilities and get the hope that they could do it too. That's exactly what speaking is. That's what leadership is that you're providing the hope by the example that you set for others that they can do it too. But whenever you're the best kept secret, people are looking at you and they see you on a pedestal. They see you in a certain position. They think, man, that's possible for them, but not for me. I used to think for a long time, man, they don't pick people like me to go be a naval officer. They don't pick people like me to sit on the board of directors or executive steering committee. Who am I? I had a 1.8 GPA. I'm not the most qualified. I'm not the brightest crown in the box. But here I am, and I'm doing everything that I never thought that I could do. Why? Because I realized that it's not about your credentials. It's about your character. Remember that your credentials get you in the door, but your character keeps you in the room, and your character is built through the adversities and the advantages that you have in life. In fact, your adversity is your advantage. That's what separates leaders. No two leaders have the same path. So if you're trying to be like other people and fall in line, then I'll tell you, you're going to be an average leader like 99% of the leaders out there. And what makes you unique is the adversity that you've overcome and how you are able to turn that into an advantage. There's other people that are waiting in line to see, how did you do it? And that brings me to number three, results matter. Okay. I'm not saying go out there and just, you know, trauma vomit everything on everybody and talk about how bad your life was and how bad your life is. You have to have results. Like, nobody would listen to me if I've never achieved any results in my life. That's why I'm constantly pushing the envelope. I'm constantly growing in my health, my wealth, my finances, my mindset, my meaning, my movement, my physical health, and my mission in helping other people, growing as a leader. And like I tell you guys, you know, I don't have this all figured out. I'm learning leadership every single day. I'm like in the trenches with you. I might be a little bit further on this journey, but I'm sharing real time what I'm doing. I am a practitioner, not a preacher. And there's a lot of people out there that'll tell you what they think you should do, but I'm telling you what I know to be true. And I'll tell you that results matter. And the only way that you get results is by putting in the reps. You have to go out there and be willing to fail. Be willing to suck so you can get to where you want to go. In order to have success, you must first suck. And unfortunately, a lot of people aren't willing to do that because they're afraid of what people might think. I would not be able to do what I'm doing. I wouldn't have this podcast. I wouldn't have a speaking career. I wouldn't even be in the leadership position that I am had I not put that aside and understand that it's the hero's journey that they want. They want to see, how did you do what you did? How did you get to where you are? Remember, the bigger the harder the test, the bigger the testimony. So don't be afraid to share those with people. They don't want perfection. They want progression, and they want to know that you're in progression, but that you're also getting results, that you're achieving something. You know, people are like, well, why did you do the Ironman? Well, because I wanted to get a result. I wanted to push myself and put myself under pressure so that I can use that to reach my potential. Because if I can't reach my potential, I can't help you reach yours. If I'm not living my purpose, how am I going to speak to somebody who asks, how do I find my purpose? Remember, I'm speaking what I know. I'm not speaking theory or some opinion. It's what I lived out. And chances are you have a result in your life that you have yet to share with people. Don't just share with them the win, share with them the process. And that puts me to the next one. You got to put in the reps to get good. Your repetitions will yield the results. And so number four, you got to put in the reps. The more and more you speak and more you get feedback, the better and better you get. When I started speaking, I didn't want to, you know, get feedback because I didn't want to feel like an idiot. I didn't want to get criticized, but I had a good coach, Dom Fawcett, who had me speak in front of a camera, just like I'm doing now. And I would record it and send it over to him, and he would critique it, and he'd give me real feedback. He kept it real with me, but I needed that because remember this, you're never as good as you think you are, but you're never as bad as you think you are either. That in between being good and being horrible, that's the attention you need to continue to grow. Like, I know I'm not a perfect speaker, and I know there's things that I can still work on, but putting in the reps, learning the craft and sharpening my skills, I'm continuing to get better. And I'm better than most because I put in the reps. This podcast is a rep. Speaking every Friday to this new students that are classing up in the military, those are reps. Every opportunity I get to stand in front of a crowd, I'm there because it's going to be the next rep that gets me the results. And as you get a result, you change a result. And I told you, now that you know, my career started in front of a third, fourth, and fifth grade class. And I spoke for free for 2.5 years. Every Wednesday and Thursday, I would speak in front of a group of kids. And as I continued to grow and continue to learn, then it turned into an audience of 100, then 1,000, then 2,000, TED Talks, all that stuff. But if I wouldn't have got started, I never would have been able to get to where I'm at today. So you have to start somewhere. And speaking of that, I want to give you tip number five. Start with what you know to be true and then share your beliefs. There's a lot of people on social media that share opinions and they share beliefs. They share theory. They share what they read in a book. And that's great, but it's not them. It's not authentic. I want you to share what you know. Share your truth. Share your story. You know, like the story of me being homeless, that's my truth. That's a fact. If I was telling you how to work out and I said, you know, today I ran 10 miles, that's a fact. Like nobody can take that away from me. But if I said, you know, you should cut your carbs and eat, you know, only protein and drink a gallon of water and cut out this and cut out that, but yet I have yet to do it, then that's just basically an opinion. That's a theory. Bro science is what we used to call it, you know. But when you start with what you know, nobody can take that away. You might get criticized, you might get judged, but you know what? You'll never get criticized by somebody who's doing better than you. And if that's your truth and if that's how your life was, then it is what it is. Nobody can change that. But when you read something out of a book or an opinion, or you share some belief, you know, a lot of people out there sharing their political views, their thoughts on COVID, but they're not a medical personnel. Like, you quickly start losing trust. And if you do this before you gain the trust of people, then you're going to lose your audience very quickly. You have to establish trust and credibility. And you do that by sharing what you've been through, your truth. Never hide your truth from people. And once you start sharing your truth, then you become a thought leader, because now you take those truths and say, you know, in that moment, I was thinking this. When I was homeless, you know, I tell people I was at rock bottom, but it was there that I found to rock bottom to be a perfect foundation to build a legacy. And that's exactly what I did. I shared, you know, how hard it was to make that decision, that, you know, I had nowhere to go and I was struggling. But yet the hardest decision I made was to get up off that couch and go to the military. And it was there that I learned the power of choice, that I, in that moment, I chose to change my life. And it was when I got in the military and I started struggling, I got in trouble early in my career, that I found that I didn't just have to change the external, I had to change the internal as well. And that was the growth journey that I went on to get to where I'm at today. You see, those were my truths. Those were the stories of my life that I lived. So what have you lived out? What have you done? What have you overcome? That's where you start. And when you do that, it's very easy, because you know the stories of your life. I don't have to write a script to tell people, you know, how it was growing up in the projects, sleeping in the bathtub because, you know, we had drive-bys on our apartments. That's truth. I remember living that out. And for you, there's stories that you have that are your truth, and you don't have to, you know, worry about what people might think, because who cares? Did they live that lifestyle? Probably not. Did they get to where you are? Probably not. So start with your truth, start with what you know, then share your beliefs, share your opinions, but you got to establish credibility and trust first. So there we have it. These five steps. Now you have these five steps in place, dial them in so that the next time you get an opportunity to step in front of a crowd, you'll be that much better. And let me know how it goes. You can send me your questions. I can answer them on this podcast as well. Send me your questions. Send me your ideas, your thoughts, anything that you want to hear discussed on this podcast. You can send them to anthony@anthonywaitspeaks.com. That's my personal email, and we'll get it and I'll answer them I'll do a Q&A on this podcast. But now that you have this, I want you to understand this. You have to start somewhere. Remember, you don't have to be great to get started, but you have to get started to be great. I'll talk to you next time.